It sure is great to see you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. It's great to see some who are visiting with us, and I appreciate them being a part of our services here as well. Please stick around so that we can get to know you just a little bit better. We do, as Justin mentioned, have a host of folks that need our prayers, and certainly on days like today when we've got a lot of sickness and such going on, we're thankful that we have our live stream and such, but we do hope that everyone can be back with us very, very soon. I will not embarrass any of the parties who did this, but earlier I had a mom text me and said, "Please forgive my child for screaming, yay! They're just excited to be at church." First of all, you don't ever have to text me that. There's no forgiveness. I love these children. Boy, isn't it great to see that these mamas and daddies and grandmas and all are bringing these children? I mean, what a great thing. And I hope that we all, at least in our hearts, are screaming out, yay, because we're excited to be here today. This year, as an eldership, we have set before the congregation a theme of lamp light. And that comes, of course, from Psalm 119, where the Bible reminds us, a verse that we'll reference again today, that His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We're talking about getting to know our Bibles even more, falling in love with Scriptures, allowing the Word of God to penetrate our hearts, and not for us to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Paul said in Romans 1:16, it is the power of God unto salvation. Last week I talked to you about the Word of God is powerful, the power in the Word of God. This is kind of a part two to that, and we're going to be in Nehemiah. You want to go ahead and turn there in just a moment. Nehemiah 8 will be our scripture. But before you're turning there, or however you're doing it, I want to ask you. This is an app called YouVersion. If you have, just out of curiosity, if you have this on your phone or device, raise your hand. Okay, everybody look around, see all that? By the way, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. You didn't just volunteer for anything. I'm about to walk you into a trap. I want to tell you a story about that. That app was started by Craig Groeschel, and it was one of their missions at their church to eradicate biblical illiteracy. Their goal is they wanted, kind of like us. Now, I'm not capable enough to come up with an app that's going to catch on, but kind of like us as a congregation, their congregation wanted to make people more aware of the Bible. They wanted to grow people's Bible knowledge. They launched YouVersion Bible app in 2008. Ironically, one time I was on a committee made up of board members that served on the board of trustees at Mobile Christian School, and we called it the Mobile Leadership Series. We had a man by the name of David Green come and speak. David Green is the owner of Hobby Lobby. David Green is a very religious man. In fact, not only does David Green do a lot of great things with the money they have, but they even started the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C. Well, David Green has been sponsoring the YouVersion Bible app since 2012. I just thought that was interesting because of who he is. When I was putting some finishing touches on this lesson, again, this started in 2008, I was looking on their website, and they've got a running counter on their website. As of yesterday, there have been over 550 million downloads of the YouVersion app throughout its entirety since 2008. That blows my mind. But it makes me ask the question, why so many people? Well, I don't believe that Mr. Groeschel has 550 million friends and they just like him enough to download his app, do you? I'm sure he has a few of them that did. But I believe it's because millions of people believe that the Word of God has the power to change the course of their lives. Now listen to me. The power of God does have the Word of God does have the power to change the course of lives. Now, I would like to think that 550 million people are reading it every day. But chances are that's not the case. But it proves the impact that this book can have on a world. Remember, the canon of the Bible was put together some 2,000 years ago. And today, it's still the world's bestseller. And today, over 550 million people have a digital copy on their device. The Word of God is powerful. And it just hasn't started. It's been that way the whole time. So, open your Bibles, or in this case, your apps, right? To Nehemiah 8. Let's read together verses 1 through 12. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. This is what Gabriel read to us very well a moment ago. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding, on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him, in his right hand stood a bunch of people that I'm not going to try to say their names. Verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while they were lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Several other Levite names there helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. Now, if you'll recall the book of Nehemiah, it's a fascinating book. I really love the story that takes place and unfolds there. The first six chapters of the book focus on the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. You'll recall that in captivity, Nehemiah hears, he works for the king, he is the cupbearer to the king. He hears that his hometown, his home city, Jerusalem, the walls had been torn down, which is their fortitude. It was their safety, and the gates had been burned. So he prepared a plan, he prayed a lot, and he got people, and he rallied the people, and they got it built back in just a remarkable amount of time. Now, chapter 7 through 13, first six chapters focus on the rebuilding of the walls. Chapter 7 through 13 focus on the rebuilding of God's people. And it's no wonder that right after a census tally in chapter 7, that chapter 8 focuses on the public reading of the Word of God. Because there will never be any rebuilding apart from the Word of God. Think about that. First six chapters, they rebuild the walls. 7 through 13, they rebuild the people. Right after they take the census, they gather all the people right in the middle of it all in chapter 8. And they read the Word, because without the Word of God, you can't rebuild. Today, as we get into the heart of this lesson, I want you to ask yourself, where are you in your faith? Where are you in your walk with God? You see, without faith, I said in Bible class this morning, it is impossible to please God. Now, I said that, but I didn't write that. The Hebrew writer did, and he wrote it under the inspiration of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We're reminded that in Paul's writing, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Today, and every day of your lives from this moment forward, we need to develop a love for the Word of God. If we have a love for the Word of God, no matter where your life is today, if it's torn down, if you feel like it's burned, if you feel like it's trampled upon, and you feel like you need to be rebuilt, then we must be in the Word of God. It is the only book that can get us back whole again, because it points us to the One who can get us back whole again. In Nehemiah, the wall had been finished, and now the people gathered. As one man, it says, to hear the Word. You know why that's so special to me? It's because while those walls were torn down and they were being held captive, you know what they missed the most? The Word of God. They missed the law. They missed hearing God's Word. Today, right now, 550 million people plus have downloaded the Bible app. If people deleted that off your phone, would you miss it? If they took your Bible away today, would you miss it, your physical copy? If the answer to that is no, I wouldn't miss it. It's just an app that is on my phone like the other 10,000 that are on my phone. Then maybe we have an issue in our lives. Or maybe if you wouldn't miss the physical copy because you never read it, you never bring it, you never open it, then maybe we have some issues going on in our lives. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Ezra, the scribe and the priest who had been responsible for the rebuilding of the temple, and also responsible for helping the people get back to worshiping God, he brought out the Word of God on this day in Nehemiah 8, and he began to read from it. You see, the book of the law of Moses, verse 1, that was read was the first five books of the Bible, the way we would call it. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We call that the Pentateuch. This was the people's instruction manual on how to walk with God. Why did he read from it? Why did they do that? I believe they read it because they missed it. I believe they read it because they knew they were to live by it. I believe they read it because it was full of power and full of life. So now that it's been read to them, and we just read that transpire in Nehemiah chapter 8 verses 1 through 12, the question is, now what should they do? All right, it's the same question for us at this point in our sermon. We're about to enter the body of the sermon, right? We just had our introduction. I told you the importance of studying the Word. I told you the importance of being in it. I've preached on it all year long so far. My question to you is this, now what? Now that you know, and really we can break it down as simple as I've already said it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It comes that simple, really. It's that God is not the author of confusion. It is that simple. So if you know that being in the Word is what's going to grow your faith and make you please God, and you know that now, even if you haven't been reading, what do we do with it? Same question that they had in Nehemiah 8. What do we do? Well, I believe the first thing we need to do is we got to hold it up. Hold it up. You know, one of my favorite things to do is when we have a baby born here at Azalea City. I get to bring that child up on stage because that mom and dad have brought their child to church and introduced that child to everyone. Not a dedication, not anything, just a, hey, here's their new baby, right? So at that point, guess what? We've held that child up. Why? Because we love that child. We're proud of that child. We're proud of those parents for bringing that child and raising it up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, it's that scene, I believe Justin's talked to us before in Lion King, when they hold up Simba. The king had been born, right? They were holding it up. And so, that being said, we hold up things that are important to us. So, if we're not going to do it physically, we've got to do it spiritually in our hearts. We've got to hold the Word up. Why did they hold it up? Verses 1 through 5, they did. Why? Because they respected it. Three reasons. Number one, they respected it. It's obvious that a strong emphasis on the Word of God is a key aspect of spiritual renewal and revival among these people. You see, if we're going to hold the Word of God up and we're going to respect it, we can't be nonchalant with it. We can't be indifferent to the importance of the Word. If we expect God to move in our lives, we must respect it. Listen, I'd like to think when we drop our phones, by the way, we have a case on them, and most of the times we have one of those glass screen protectors on them. My glass screen protector always seems to be broken because I drop my phone. But we get frustrated when we drop the phone. I would love to think it's because we got the Bible app on there. But I'm guessing it's because they're about $1,300 or so now. Right? It's the same thing with any device that we may have it on. It's not because we got the Word of God. We can get that again. But then sometimes maybe we treat this the same way. We just throw it in the back of the car. We just throw it around or whatever. You see, I think we've got to reprogram ourselves. The Word has to mean something to us. We must respect it. You know, if I were to go, and listen, I know we've got some crazy people that do bad things to memorials and don't like war heroes and all that in the country, but I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to sane people in here. So, let's say we go to Washington, D.C., and we walk up to the Vietnam Wall and we just spit on it. We wouldn't do that. You know why? Because you see those names and there was bloodshed. There was bloodshed for our country. There was bloodshed for our freedoms. There were families that lost loved ones, and they did it for me, and they did it for you. This book is stained with blood. Men, women that brought the gospel message along the way so that we can have it today. It even took the death of God's own Son so that we can have the Word in our possession. Why am I going to disrespect it? What we see among the people in Nehemiah 8 is they had a huge amount of respect for the Word of God. You know how I know that? As Ezra read what we would know as the Pentateuch to them, they stood up for 6 hours. 6 hours. I mean, Steve has us sometimes stand for 2 songs and y'all grumble and complain. I'm just kidding, Steve. I've never heard him do that. Could you imagine? Could you imagine every time we... And I'm not saying this. I'm not saying do this. I'm not throwing off-the-wall stuff. But every time we read the Word of God, if we just stood up, the respect we'd start gaining for it. See, that's holding the Word up. That's what they did. They stood up for 6 hours. They respected the author. They respected the authority. And because of that respect, they were willing to stand for 6 hours to hear it read and taught. When the Word of God is not respected, then we shouldn't expect that God will work in our lives. If we don't respect the Word of God, then we may as well not expect God to work in our lives or in the church. Neglect and lack of respect will always lead to decay and deterioration. It will lead to it in our spiritual lives. So number one, how do we hold it up? We respect it. Number two, they realize the importance of it. Their minds weren't wandering. Listen, I have a wandering mind. I do. I have a lot of things that are on my mind, and I think they call that attention deficit disorder, seriously. But as he, and by the way, to me, I love Genesis to Deuteronomy. I had a class on the Pentateuch in college. But it's probably not the most exciting first five books to someone who's never heard it. Now, they had heard it. They've been doing it since they were born, right? But they stayed focused. They weren't distracted. They weren't checking their watches or slipping a glance at their Facebook or Instagram during it. That ever happen? Probably not in here, right? Verse 3 of Nehemiah 8 says, the ears of all the people were attentive. They realized the importance of what was being read to them. These were the words of life. You remember when Moses said, choose life. These were the words of life that were being read to them. These were words of hope. These were words that could give them direction and give them purpose. These were words of power that they could live by. Do we truly realize the importance of the words of this book? Now, I think at a glance we all would say, yes, we do. Do we really? Once again, let me ask you this. If I gave you a treasure map and said, if you follow every word to this treasure map, every step, every word, at the end of it, you will be wealthy for the rest of your life. And you truly believed me and you truly understood that I was not exaggerating and it was for real. You know what we would do? We would read every word of that map. We would probably memorize that map. We would probably have it, even if it got destroyed, ingrained in our brains or more copies of it and everything else. And we would follow it step by step by step by step because we want wealth. Well, I can't promise you any of that. But I can promise you, if you will read and study and meditate and follow the steps in this book, you'll have the greatest wealth that could ever be imagined. They understood that in Nehemiah 8. So they respected it. Does the amount of time we spend in this book each week show that we realize how important it is in our lives? Thirdly, how do we hold it up? What do we do to hold it up? Why would we hold it up? Why did they hold it up? They revered it. Their respect of the Word led to their reverence toward the Word of God. Again, they stood as it was being read, verse 5, as if they were in the presence of royalty. Think of that. King walks by, stand up. The bride comes in, we stand up. The death of a loved one, we stand up at the funeral. Why? It shows respect. It shows reverence, right? It shows we appreciate what's going on. That's why they did. They lifted their hands to the Lord and they bowed down in worship, verse 6. What a powerful outward expression of the reverence they felt in their heart at that very moment. Why were they doing that? I'll tell you, it's because God was speaking to them through His Word. The Bible right here that I hold in my very hand, it's a special book. It has God as the author, salvation as its message, and Jesus Christ as its focus. Let's say that again. God as the author, salvation as its message, and Jesus Christ as its focus. And that is worthy of reverence. But it's not enough just to believe that this book is a special book. It's not enough just to believe it. We got to let its message permeate in our souls. We have to open up our ears and open up our hearts to let this life-changing message change our lives. You know what happens when we do? When we allow this book to penetrate our hearts, again, it's a sharp sword that can penetrate the hardest of hearts. What will happen when we do that? Our hands will go up, our voices will cry out, and our knees will go down. So, I want to encourage us all to hold it up. Hold it up in our lives. Hold it up in our families. Do you think your family would be better today if you studied the Bible together? You know, I am very proud of both my children. I really am. I'm proud of the grades they make. I'm proud of the way they perform in athletics. But I'm here to tell you I am most proud that every day of their lives they read their Bible. My daughter, Madeline, again, she's 12. But every night she goes in and reads, and I said this in Bible class this morning. She just finished the book of Genesis this year. And you might think that's not that big a deal, but there are 50 chapters. And she's reading a chapter a day. So for 50 days when she started, 50 straight days, she's been in it. And I'm not telling you that because I'm a great parent. In fact, that's probably more their mom than anything. But I'm telling you, when we figure it out, when we hold it up in our families, when we hold it up in our workplaces, when we hold it up in the church, it changes lives. So secondly, what do we need to do? Same thing they did. We've got to take it all in. Not enough just to hold it up. We've got to take it in. The Levites in Nehemiah 8, they were there to help the people take the word in and understand what was being read to them. You see, they brought clarity and understanding to the people. In fact, the phrase is, in verse 8, they gave the sense. That's what the New King James says. They gave the sense. You know what that means? It means they brought insights and gave meaning to the Scriptures so that the hearers could understand it, comprehend it, and apply it to their lives in obedience. These days, there's really no excuse. There's really no excuse for a Christian to not take advantage of all the resources that are available to help us take in the Word and understand it. I like this quote. It's really, I guess, an excerpt from an article. Remember, it is not hasty reading, but serious meditating upon holy and heavenly truths that make them prove sweet and profitable to the soul. It is not the bee's touching of the flower that gathers honey, but her abiding for a time upon the flower that draws out the sweet. It is not he who reads most, but he who meditates most, who will prove the choicest, sweetest, wisest, and strongest Christian. You see, today, you could have me read a book. Because of my reading comprehension struggles at times, I'm not a huge open up a book and read it kind of person. So if you said, hey, Terry, this is a great book, and it was about, I don't know, something that is really popular out there that everybody loves, I could read that book and I could read the whole thing. And probably at the end of it, I couldn't tell you a whole lot that went on. Because you know what I just did? I just read it. I didn't put myself in the story. I didn't comprehend it. I didn't focus on it. I didn't live in the moment. And if we do that with the Word of God, it'll be the same thing. I can read it and 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 say I've read it, but if I don't focus, if I don't meditate, if I don't pray, if I don't reflect, am I really taking it in? You know, I have a lot of problems in life, but one of my biggest struggles when it comes to eating is I eat too fast. I don't know if that's because I had two older brothers and I thought I had to, I don't know, fight for everything I had or what. I can make excuses all day, but I have to remind myself to chew, Terry, chew. Like a great steak. I love a great steak. And sometimes it tastes so good, I just want to keep eating, eating, eating. And I'm like, it's done, it's gone. I didn't savor it. Well, I don't know what's your favorite food, but remember, you can fill up on this, right? Jesus said that. Think about this. We can open it. We can chew on it. And we can savor it. Not only will we be holding it up in our lives, we'll be taking it in. And when we do that, it'll change us. It'll change us for the better. But guess what? Holding it up, taking it in, none of that is worth anything if we don't do the last step. And here's the final step. We got to live it. We got to live it out. Verses 9 through 12, that's exactly what they're telling them to do. You got to live it out. Look at what happened in response to the Word. God had shown them, through their sin, He had shown them what their sin was, I should say, through His Word. They had responded in brokenness and grief. Remember, they were weeping. They had responded by confession and repentance. God had forgiven them, and then He revived them. They went on their way full of joy because their lives were different. You see, it's pretty clear and simple for us too. God speaks, the people listens, the people respond. If we will do that in our lives, if we will just make it that simple, God's not going to talk to us today. He's not, you might say, and we've all said that, right? I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do. Well, the more I read, the more I pray, the more I am in His Word, holding it up, taking it in, and applying it to my life, then it'll be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's going to show us the way. This is how He communicates through us today. You know what's going on in a lot of lives? And this is true. I mean, it's society. There's a lot of fear right now. A lot of people afraid. Living their lives in fear. Living their lives through skepticism. Just skeptical of everything. Somebody says something, oh no, that's not true, oh no, that's not true, or somewhere in between, blah, blah, blah. There's a lack of faith in people today. What do they believe in? You know, if we don't believe in something, we're going to fall for everything, right? You got to have that faith, and of course our faith needs to be in God. There's a lot of self-centeredness in this world. There's a lot of people looking out for self. And then, of course, there's a lot of pride. And that's been going on since the beginning. This book addresses all of that. It'll cast out fear. It'll make us believe. It'll build our faith. It'll put our center on the cross. And our pride will become humility. We need brokenness. The people in Nehemiah 8, they were broken. Chapters 1 through 6, they were living in a broken world. They built it together. 7 through 13, they had to rebuild themselves. But along the way in chapter 8, they needed the foundation of the Word of God. Sometimes we need to hit that brokenness. We need to hit, as we say, rock bottom. Because you know why? That leads us to confession. It leads us to repentance. It leads us to immersion. It leads us to forgiveness. It leads us to restoration. It leads us to renewal. It leads us to revival. Today, if you will leave here taking the Word and holding it up in your life, ingesting it in your soul, and living it out in your everyday life, then we'll never have to worry about brokenness again. We'll never have to worry about revival again, because our fires will be lit. And as the song says, all around the neighborhood, we will let it shine. Today, won't you allow the power of the Word of God to change your life, to penetrate your heart, to remind you that this book's focus is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus went to the tree of Calvary so that you and I could be saved today. Today, this book teaches us, just like the Ethiopian eunuch asked, in this book that we learn about, hey, behind that wall is water. What's stopping me from being baptized today? The answer to the question is the same thing that was stopping the Ethiopian eunuch. Nothing if you believe with all your heart. Today, allow this Word to change your life, or come back home to it, fall in love with it, and let's do it right now. Together, we stand and sing.